And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. I am Dr. T, one of your hosts. Our program airs every Thursday night, 6 to 6:30, both at this station as well as 91.7 WAPB in Madison, Florida. You can also follow us on the web by going to truthtowellness.com. That again is truthtowellness.com. And if you go to the radio program, you can see both Season 2 and Season 3, which is where we are right now. And you can see the previous programs as well as the programs playing right now. Currently, we are on our teachings about the Holy Spirit. We are now looking at part 5 here with Pastor Howard. And this is now part 2 on the fruits of the Spirit. And before we start on it, I just want to share with you, I was at one time looking for a vehicle, and I come across a dealer who just recently got converted from one of the Caribbean countries. And so when I spoke to him and I found out he's a Christian, I started talking in terms of what Christianity means to me. And I saw this apprehension on his part. And as I spoke to him, he realized that he was very apprehensive about the Christianity we have here. And I actually assured him that I am also apprehensive about some of the Christians and some of the Christianity we have here. And so I was thinking about that, and I came to realize that the reason why I am apprehensive is the same reason he is, and that is the Christianity here doesn't seem to have the fruits that we would expect to see. Our churches may be more concerned about attendance and income than they are about helping the poor. We seem to have lost the element of who it is and what it is, a special first love of being a Christian. And these are the very fruits that Pastor Howard speaks about. And so he is going to share with us very shortly. But before we go there, I really like you to think about, what is your life like? What does it feel like? Are you somebody that people would describe as a Christian with fruits? And here is the thing. This is the thing that I'm very, very careful. We have so many Christians who go to church who still have a guilty conscience. And as our pastor once actually explained in a church, they go to church and then they try to do all these deeds to just make up for the guilty conscience, something that the Bible calls the dead works. It is not about that. There are certain fruits that only come when you have a relationship with the living God. And I was really glad when I heard that our pastor speak about that in the church. And I was sitting there and I was going, very, very few understand this. Very few. So I would like you to stay in prayer, even as you listen to any show here. But allow that relationship with Christ to be your personal relationship. Christianity is not a corporate business. It's not a corporate religion. It's a personal relationship. And to that end, I'd like to play a song by Phil Wilcomb that says, This Amazing Grace. Let's listen to this song first. And then we are going to go ahead and listen to Pastor Howard explain to us about the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Who shakes the whole earth with holy
I have asked Pastor Howard to lead us through these studies and the Holy Spirit. I can assure you from having known Pastor Howard for some time that he definitely not only knows the subject matter, but also lives it. And that is very important. I think it's very important to understand that we need to hear from somebody who actually is walking the life of a Christian warrior who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, I have known Pastor Howard for some time now, and I can assure you that he definitely lives that life. Pastor Howard, go ahead.
Let's move on to the next fruit, which is goodness, Galatians 5, verse 22. Is love in action? It's the practical outworking of love. Never forget, love is an action word. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 to 13, when Jesus was at the house of Bethany, was in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, that he washed the disciples' feet. He humbled himself. He showed practical love to his disciples. Here is the conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people. Some people want to be good simply because they fear the consequences of being bad. Our children do wrong, and they know full well the consequences. I have a little saying that we're free to choose, but we're never free to choose the consequences of our choosing. We all have freedom. We can choose, but we're never free to choose the consequences of our choosing. There are consequences when we sin, if we run a red light and the policeman's there, if we rob a bank, if we murder, there are consequences. There's always forgiveness. God is loving and forgiving. There are always consequences. So some people want to be good simply because they fear the consequences of being bad. There's nothing wrong with that. We do it all the time. Driving is a good example. Speeding, the stop sign, the red light. But isn't it nice when we who are recipients of God's love, we who are his children, we who are his family, when we are motivated to goodness because of the indwelling love of God that's resident within our lives, when we want to do good, goodness is heaping benefits on others. So how often do we heap benefits on others? How often do we bless someone in need? How often are our eyes open to those needs around us? This fruit is a positive outflow of the Spirit of God, and is demonstrated in our attitude to the needs of others. Remember the words of Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So we've just looked at goodness flowing out of our lives, which is love in action. Now look at faithfulness, Galatians 5:22, faithfulness. Here the fruit of the Spirit is very practical. I would suggest that this is not faith in a believing sense. Not, I've come to faith in Christ. Faithfulness has to do with our character as it relates to others. We find ourselves involved in reaching out in loyal commitments to others. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. This fruit is really saying to us that we are to be reliable, dependable, trustworthy to the promises, duties, and obligations that are made. Can I suggest that if the practical outflowing of the love of God is to be clearly demonstrated to others, it will be seen in this fruit. We want people to be able to say of us, "He keeps his word," or "You can rely on her." "Yes, I can trust that person." How sad, and we've heard it said, when people say, "I couldn't trust him. He never keeps his word." Friends, the true believer does not shirk this responsibility. I believe that this can also be translated as trust in others. We believe in others. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." So trustfulness or trusting desires to see the very best in everyone. Friends, let me say, yes, we can be let down. People have hurt us. We've all been there. Our lives, we've been hurt and disappointed because we've trusted people and they've let us down. It's not easy to trust when you've been hurt. Listen to this commentary by Luther on this subject. Enlisting faith among the fruit of the Spirit, Paul obviously does not mean faith in Christ, but faith in men. Such faith is not suspicious of people, but believes the best. Naturally, the possessor of such faith will be deceived, but he lets it pass. He is ready to believe in all men. Where virtue is missing, men are suspicious, forward and wayward, and will believe nothing nor yield to anyone. No matter how well a person says or does, they will find fault with it. And if you do not humour them, you can never please them. Written by Luther 3 centuries ago. Friends, how we all need to keep close to the Lord, full of the Holy Spirit. Allow this character of Christ to be worked out in our lives, to be trustworthy, dependable, reliable. It brings glory to God. So we'll move on to the next fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness, which is humility or meekness. This is not to be confused with shyness, timidity or weakness. These are the characteristics of an inferiority complex. We're not inferior. We are called and chosen of God. Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Someone has said that meekness is power under control. A person can be meek and yet wield great authority. Our Lord, who had all the resources of heaven at his disposal, and yet was himself meek, and indeed taught this virtue of meekness in his great Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verse 5, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed or happy, fortunate are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Rather than a disqualification for leadership, meekness is an essential to it. Meekness is slow to anger and to take offence. The meek are not selfishly aggressive. It's not needing to force our way into life. Let's not strive, but be gentle. Serve the Lord with all humility. We move on to the last one of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Temperance. Among the fruit of the Spirit, surely there is none more important than self-control. The ability to be able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Proverbs 16:32. "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." When we truly grasp and recognize that we are indwelt by God, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, we are more likely to exercise this temperance or self-control. It's a control over passion and lust and appetites and desires for worldly pleasures and pursuits. Paul, writing again to the early church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16:12 says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." We're not to allow carnal, fleshly appetites to ruin our lives. This is one battle we'll fight until the day the Lord Jesus takes us home. The flesh wars against the Spirit. Don't allow yourself to be brought under bondage to carnal, fleshly, worldly appetites. We're all different. We all know the areas that we have to be conscious of. Every one of us. Let's be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Job says in Job 31, "I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman?" Guys, particularly, we need to guard our eyes, TV, the internet. Others, it may be their intake of food, or perhaps the ability to say no to that credit card offer. There are different areas of self-control in our lives. Self-control is simply the control of self. Anything that's out of control is dangerous. So let's review what we've said about this wonderful fruit of the Spirit. Remember, Jesus has given us the key. What does a key do? It opens up a door to a new vista, a new opportunity. If I go home, put my key in the lock and open the door, it opens up to a new area that was bound to me because I've opened the door with the key. So what is this key? It's simply abiding in Christ. Abiding in Jesus is the key to bearing fruit in our lives. It's so simple. We forget sometimes and overlook it. It's simply abiding in Christ. As in the natural, so in the spiritual. A natural result of the sap and the life flowing through the tree is fruit bearing. Fruit is a natural consequence of its relationship with the tree. There's no need to struggle in this. If we could in some way tap into the life of the tree, get into some frequency, we wouldn't hear the tree groaning saying, I must make an apple, or I've got to develop an orange, I must bear fruit, come on, let's work at it. Groaning. No. The fruit just hangs in there. It's an integral part of the life and growth of the tree to which it's attached. It's abiding. It's simply resting in the process of a natural growth. If you're abiding in Christ, you don't have to work at it. You don't have to stress out over it. You just have to abide in Christ. Read his word. Be in fellowship. Be in prayer. Fruit will develop in your life. It's a natural process. It's a spiritual process. The believer has one sole responsibility, which is to abide in Christ. Fruit is the natural product of abiding. So we see that the believer who desires to bring forth fruit needs to keep an unbroken and intimate relationship with Jesus, to keep healthy, free from disease, well nourished, continually rejoicing, set free from sin, and to participate in the family of God. If you and I are daily living in the power of the Holy Spirit, the glorious result will be bearing fruit to the glory of God. Work hard at your relationship with Jesus. Don't allow anything between you and the Lord. We're not talking about sinless perfection. We're talking about those who confess their sins quickly and speedily. Once they recognize they've said an unkind word, they've done something that was not right, forgive me, Lord. I love this verse in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, if, it's a big if, since we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess sin quickly. Don't live with sin. Walk in the light. But there may also be some pruning to do to ensure more fruit. The master gardener comes and prunes the trees. The Lord desires to see healthy, quality fruit in our lives. Friends, this is not a quick fix. This is not an overnight experience. This is not an easy path. There are no shortcuts to holiness. Friends, the character of Christ, the most powerful testimony in the world today, doesn't come easy. I'll say that again. Friends, the character of Christ, the most powerful testimony in the world today, doesn't come easy. Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labour in birth again until Christ is formed in you. The Amplified says, until Christ is completely and permanently formed and moulded within you. It's not by the passing of time, but by the exercise of faith. Now let's set ourselves a little test to see how we're coming along. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, talks about love suffers long and is kind. Love is gentle. Love doesn't. So many things it says about love. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love suffers long and is kind. I'm going to read this. I'm going to put my name in here. You put your name in. And let's see how we're doing with this. Howard suffers long and is kind. Howard does not envy. Howard does not parade himself. Howard is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Howard does not seek his own. Howard is not provoked and thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but Howard rejoices in the truth. Howard bears all things. Howard believes all things. how it hopes all things, endures all things, how it never fails. Well, I've a long way to go, I think, really, reading through that. We could put Jesus in there, and we're working towards a goal, every one of us. We could all acknowledge that we've some more growing to do. We know that it's all about abiding in Christ. It's being open to the Holy Spirit in every area of our life, living lives totally yielded to Him in word, in deed, and in thought. The fruit of the Spirit. What a glorious truth. The fact that each one of us can bring glory to God by bearing fruit, more fruit, hopefully much fruit in our lives to the glory of God. Next week, we'll look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Howard, thank you very much for that teaching. This is now part five, the end of part five. This is the second section on the fruits of the Spirit that we just heard. And next week we are going to talk about spiritual gifts. So as you can see, there is quite a bit of teaching that we are presenting on this. And if you want to hear some other episodes and you're not sure what was said before or you want to hear it again, you're welcome again to go, as I said earlier, to truthtowellness.com. No spaces, truthtowellness.com. Go under our radio program and you're going to see episode, this is part five, it will actually say Holy Spirit or part five, Holy Spirit, something like that. And you can click on it. It is an MP3 file. It's not very heavy, so you'll be able to listen to it. I think it's very important for us to understand and personalize our relationship with the Holy Spirit and with our God and with Jesus Christ. Why am I saying that? I have learned, and this agrees with everything I have heard from Pastor Howard, I have learned that the only way I can have the fruits and the relationship, the if you will, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the only way I can do it is through that relationship of love. I have seen too many people trying to get it through, as I said earlier in this program, through the dead works, trying to do the good works. I'm not saying anything against doing the good works, but many religions do that. That actually is the difference between Christianity and many other religions. Christianity is not about dead works. It's about relationship. And if you try to just clear up your conscience with a few works here and a few works there, and you think that that's going to appease God, then, my friend, you have a very low opinion of our God. And so this is the difference. And if you, you know, if you think about it, even if you're married to somebody and they just do something to appease you rather than because they love you, you know how long that will last. Same thing is with Christianity. In fact, gospel very often uses Christianity and compares it to a marriage for that very reason. Let us now finish this program with the song by Mercy Me, Best News.
Some say don't give up and hope that your good is good enough. Head down, keep on working. If you can earn it, you deserve it. Some say push on through. After all, it's the least that you can do. But don't buy what they're selling. It couldn't be further from the truth. What if I were the one to tell you that the fight's already been won? Well, I think your day's about to get better. What if I were the one to tell you that the work's already been done? It's not good news, it's the best news ever. Themselves or press on, get it right, otherwise get left behind. Yeah. Some say he's keeping score, so try hard, then try a little more. But hold up, if this were true, explain to me what the cross is for.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.